in the midst of conflict, the virtue was worked into him. Instead of him making bread to eat, he ate the bread that came from heaven. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live. And so he was learning obedience through what he suffered. And this is why we must know God like this. You can't stay a child forever. And what is carnal in your life is not under divine protection. You may have faked it and made it till now, but there's coming a time where you're going to find that that is not protected. There's trouble that will come into your life because of that carnal, unprotected area of your life. That secret sin. That evil that you harbor. Even unforgiveness. Things like that. You can't harbor that stuff. You got to get rid of that. That is an inroad. The devil will set you up for failure. He will destroy. And he won't do it while you just harboring it. He'll wait till many get connected to you. Many get dependent upon you. Many look up to you. Many confide in you and honor you. And then all of a sudden that wound shows up. And all those that were putting their trust in God and looking at your life, all of a sudden say, is this what that is all about? I don't want nothing to do with that foolishness. Amen? It's important that the church grow up. I said this morning, if you've run with the footmen and they have wearied you, if we grow weary and discouraged with church, we're folk in here supposed to love everybody. We sing songs together. We shake hands. We give Holy Ghost hugs. We give our offerings. We do all these things together as a family. If you've grown weary, if the footmen, if you've grown weary with church, what about when the real conflict starts? When the real conflict of heaven and earth start? When the horses come, the Calvary comes, and you've been wearied because somebody cut their eyes at you in church, or there's been change, or anything in church, or even on your job. I just don't like the way he said that. Well, maybe not. Maybe he said it wrong, and maybe he said it wrong on purpose. And maybe he meant evil by it. But you can't let that trouble you. I'm not the one with the problem. He's the one with the problem. Amen. We were coming from, I don't even know if my wife saw this, but we were coming from a restaurant the other day. And it was at night. We were coming down in a town we don't live in. It was a ways away. We come, and these people were standing on the corner, on the sidewalk there. And they saw us coming. And, you know, the guy, there was about three or four guys and then a couple of ladies. The guy saw us coming. He could have just stepped, you know, and let us kind of edge through on this. He didn't move. You know, I saw that coming, though. I saw you kind of look down and saw us coming. And he didn't move, so I just grabbed him by the arm. Didn't even let him know what was going on. I said, so we're going to cross the street right here. And we just went on across the street. But, you know, I don't think it was a misconception on my part. I saw what was kind of there. And I said, instead of, you know, excuse me, you know, y'all don't need to be standing. This is a sidewalk. I said, no. I said, come on, baby. We're going to go across the street right here. We cross right there without avoiding any kind of foolishness. You understand? I don't care. I don't care what they think about or who what might be on their mind. That ain't on my mind. If you were to meet me, I'm a friendly kind of guy. You understand? But people's minds. I'm messed up. I'm not getting in that. That's you. You got the problem. I'll pray for you, but you got the problem, not me. Amen? That should be how, because the confrontation of hell is what works the virtues of heaven into us. You learn lessons, and then you have those lessons tested.
Because we cannot just fake it till we make it. Sitting in a church pew and hearing the words of God or the words of the Bible are not enough. Amen. We can hear, but it's not the hearer of the word that is justified. What life do you live at home? What is your wife's testimony? I got a good testimony. I got nothing to hide. Amen. I wouldn't get up here and lie to you. Amen. It ain't worth it to me. I got a good testimony at home. But see, some feel like just coming to the church or being involved in activity in the church is enough. It ain't enough. I'm here to tell you right now, you go to hell in a handbasket. There's a whole lot of people that can drop into hell right from the church pew. Lord, did not we prophesy in your name? We cast out devils in your name. The Lord going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. It's not about church activity. It's not. Be involved. But you better get connected. You better know that you know that you know that when even you leave here, you are still walking with him. That he is in you and you are in him. And it's not just about a church or your name on the roll or coming through a new members class or a covenant commitment class or getting in the choir or being part of the usher board. It's not about that. Thank God for all those things. We need those functions. But it's about a relationship that has to be between you and God. And God don't just show up when you come into the church. Do not be deceived. A sinner, a murderer can come into the church and feel better because they're sitting in the presence of God. Or feel convicted. That's not it. It's a relationship. I'm telling you, don't be deceived. The quality of life is connected to the character of God. You don't have the character of God. I'm telling you right now, the quality of life you lead is not good. And you know it. The internal struggles, the habits, the things you allow, the things you think about. Things you in your heart that go on. Got no business watching somebody else's wife. When they go down the aisle, you can't take your eyes off of them. It's your cross-eyed self. Help me, Holy Ghost. I'm helping somebody here this morning. It might be funny to some of y'all, but somebody needs to know. They need to understand it's not about your name on the roll. Is your name written in heaven? Do you bear the fruit of the Holy Ghost? Is he abiding inside of you? Is he transforming your mind? People need help today. They don't need Dr. Phil. They need Dr. Jesus. They don't need Oprah. They need Dr. Jesus. They don't need religion. They need Jesus. I hope to thrust somebody into a conflict so their soul can be bared, so they can see who they really are and what they really don't have. Amen. We want to help. Sometimes you got to kill stuff. You got to pluck up. You got to pull down. You got to plow the ground. See, unless the ground was broken up, it wasn't good for sowing. So there's sometimes you got to break up some stuff. And a lot of that is stemming from inordinate affection. People have been hurt in their childhood or have grown up. You know, with bad examples of things. And so the enemy had inroads and
has beachheads and strongholds in their spirit. And they feel like this is how their dad did, or this is what example they saw, or they had to raise themselves. And so their affection is inordinate, is stemming from a wound. How many know hurting people will hurt people? Tell somebody, apostle, ain't mad at nobody. But I'm speaking into the spirit. I'm speaking to your spirit, man. I'm speaking to those spirits that have attached themselves to your spirit. I'm dealing with those things. I ain't dealing with you. I'm dealing with those things in the spirit realm that have surrounded you and have strongholds on your thinking patterns. And I'm wrestling that rascal. I'm putting him in a headlock. I'm trying to stop his oxygen, trying to cut off his oxygen flow so that conviction comes. And you say, what must I do to be saved? I need help. Somebody need to cry out, I need help. That's 90% of the battle won when you realize you need help. You didn't know you were that bad off. Devil ready to take you out through deception. We learn lessons, and we have what we learned tested. Let me just tell you something. You better thank God for somebody who got a big mouth, and I don't care sometimes what comes out of it. Do you understand? Now, let me bring that in context. I ain't going to cuss nobody out. I don't mean that. I mean when it comes to meddling, when it comes to touching your life, I don't care how you look at me. I don't care if you get mad, because see, if you receive some things, that madness will turn to gladness.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in part 87 of our Mega Grace series, Grace, the Best Life, part 2. Oftentimes conflict arises in your life. How are you handling your conflicts? What's your attitude? You must be able to identify conflict. The Holy Spirit sometimes will throw you into conflict. It is in the conflict of hell that God is working in the virtues of heaven. 1 Peter 4:19 states, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." Always remember, the picture is much, much bigger than you. Jesus never was disobedient, but He did learn obedience through what He suffered.
We invite you to worship with us. Please join us in our newly added 8:30 a.m. service on Sundays. See you there.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.